shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in. Karen Stubbs is a speaker, podcaster, and author of several books, including Survival Guide to Motherhood, Moments with God for Moms, and The Art of Motherhood. Karen is wife to Greg, mother to four adult children, grandmother to five, and founder of Birds on a Wire Moms, a ministry created to equip mothers with practical and biblical truth so they can parent with confidence. Enjoy this conversation about parenting and grandparenting with our friend Karen Stubbs. Karen, it is so fun to be back in conversation with you. We are such big fans and grateful.
Oh, thank
our
you.
Paths intersected many, many years ago. Always thankful for a chance to get to be with you. And for any folks who have not discovered the great work you're doing, will you tell us a little bit about you, about your family, and the work you do?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Well, thanks first off for having me on. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Karen Stubbs, founder of Birds on a Wire Ministry. Birds on a Wire is a ministry for moms of all ages. So from the birth all the way to grandparenting. And because it's a whole journey, it's not just the toddler years. I think it gets harder the older they get, personally. Me personally, I think it gets harder. But it's fun, but it's hard. But I've been married to my husband, Greg, for 37 years. And we have four grown children, and they age. They're all getting ready to have birthdays. So they age from like 34 down to 26. It's crazy. 27. And then I've got five grandchildren, and I've got a sixth on the way at the end of March. So,
oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's so exciting. I love watching the family grow. So it's wonderful. So this will be great. So that's about me. Birds on a Wire, like I said, is a ministry for moms. And I think being a mom myself, my husband was a Navy fighter pilot years ago. And whenever I was raising our children, I was just in the thick of it by myself. You know, he was traveling and going and doing, and now he flies for FedEx, but he's still gone a lot. So it's just, I just think when we moved back to the Atlanta area after being in Virginia while he was doing his Navy stuff, I just started seeing a need for moms. I was working at a local church there and just kept sort of seeing their need. And I honestly thought at that point, I was the only one that thought motherhood was hard because of my circumstances. But working at a church, I just started seeing, oh, wasn't just me. Everybody thinks it's hard and they're just overwhelmed. And so I just wanted to help. So started with a little small group in my basement that grew and grew and grew. And then I left the church staff in 2011, started the ministry, and here we are today. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And we have had the privilege of being a part of what you're doing through conference for you and through the podcast several times.
Yes.
We've both been so privileged to get to be on it. Will you talk about the different facets of what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a speaker, so that's how I started off, just speaking to the moms and sort of speaking. My teaching is very practical. You know, I don't necessarily have, I have a college degree, of course, but I don't have a lot of PhDs behind my name in counseling and all that. But I've been a mama for, and just like I said, just walk the journey. So
you offer so much wisdom.
Thank you. Curriculum, I've got that. I've got my podcast. The podcast is sort of like a Dear Abby for moms. They just write in their questions and I answer them. And, you know, I think it's safe for the moms to write in their question because nobody knows who they are. I don't say, oh, this is Susie from Ohio. I just read the question and answer it. And then she can get a good, honest answer, unbiased. And a lot of times it's some hard truth, but for whatever reason, the moms accept it. And they're like, I think they know I really love them and I want the best for them. And I want them to find freedom. You know what I'm saying? So yes. I do that. I've written books and devotionals. I just wrote a teen devotional for teenage girls.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I had three girls and I know what a battle that is, you know, being in those teen years. So that's what we do.
Well, and speaking of the things you do, Karen, one of our favorite things that you talk with moms about is the importance of words and even different words as kids are growing up. Would you talk about just the importance of encouragement for kids and how the words shift as kids are getting older?
Oh, absolutely. So I just think it's so important in a child's life that they be seen. You know what I'm saying? And whenever we use our words and we say, like if they're a toddler, like, hey, buddy, I can tell you're really frustrated right now. And I think you're frustrated because these Legos aren't going together the way you think they are. You know, is that right? And if they look at you, yes, you know, and say, can I help you? Can I show you how to do it? Different children have different needs. And so I'm a big component of being a student of your child and just to learn them. And what are they introverts or the extroverts? What is their personality, their temperament? You know, what's their birth order? All the things. What's their love language? And then start speaking those things over them. And as they grow, just, you know, when my kids were those teen years, early teen years, all the hormones are just raging. And I'd be like, do you just feel like you're going to come out of your skin? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, I know, I get that. And it's so hard, isn't it? And you don't know what to do. And they're like, yes, you know, like, how did you know? And I'm like, because it's called hormones. And then that can start a conversation. But at least you're letting them know, like, hey, I see you. I understand. I know you're frustrated. Let me see if I can help you. I may not, but I can listen and I'm here for you kind of thing. If that helps.
I love that.
You too.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
I love that you're speaking to kids now, teenage girls, and you have given such rich information for years to parents and moving into the grandparenting space because of your own journey. Will you talk a little bit about what becoming a grandparent's been like for you?
Oh, it's been amazing. Whoa. It's been amazing. It's sort of like your little sweet dog Patches. They're just so wonderful and cute and loving and cuddly. And honestly, being a grandparent's the best thing ever because you get to love on them and then you send them home. You can say, oh, they, you know, had an accident pottying or whatever today. It's not your problem. Like you can clean it up and they go on. Or they're not up all night with you, you know, up in the middle of the night. They're with that with your parents. So we just get the best of all the world. So I love it. I truly, my so Mimi, fun. That's what they call me.
Mimi, that's a great name.
And I love it because they'll say, can we go to Mimi's house? And the answer is always yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
you give grandparents pointers on being a grace-filled grandma. Mm-hmm. Will you talk about those with us?
Yes. Well, on this category, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to the other grandmothers. So I just like to remind all of us that this, we do need to give our children grace because this is their first time being a parent. Just like it was our first time being a parent. They don't necessarily know what they're doing, but they don't need us looking over their shoulder all the time telling them, you need to this and you need to that, because that I didn't like it when my parents or my in-laws did that, and nobody likes that. So I always say, give them grace. They're going to make mistakes. That's okay. That's how we all learn. And just let them know, you know, you're doing a good job. You know, I think from watching my girls become moms and just seeing all this pressure that they're putting on themselves, I'm like, you're too hard on yourself. You're doing such a good job. You're such a good mom with those kids. And they just don't believe it. You know, like, really? Do you really think I am? I'm like, yes. So as grandparents, we have a great seat at the table. And we don't need to always use our authority over that. You just need to enjoy the table, enjoy the food, everything there, but not be, you know, an annoying guest.
That's great.
Yes. Okay. So if we were going to flip that, because we certainly talk to a lot of parents who are struggling to navigate the same relationship, what encouragement would you give parents about the parent-grandparent relationship?
I always tell the moms when they write in their questions about their in-laws and their parents and all that, you know, they don't respect my boundaries. They don't do this and they don't do that. And I just say, I think it's wonderful that you lay out, these are my boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, Emily, like when my daughter, if she's bringing the kids over, she'll say, Mom, no snacks, okay, before dinner, please. And I'm like, okay. So now I know that's their boundary. And if grandparents won't listen to those boundaries, then the child needs to say, hey, Mom, it's such a privilege that my kids get to come to your house and they love it. But if you can't respect my boundaries, I'm going to have to start staying here with them or just sort of guiding everything because you're not listening to me. And I always tell the grandparents, if you want to be with those children, your grandchildren, you better listen to your children type thing. Truly.
They're great words. Well, and Karen, it seems that grandparents are more involved than ever before, and kids are having more time with them, which we absolutely love. Mm-hmm. We talk to parents who are so grateful for that time, but also about the struggle, often around two things: screens and gifts.
Yeah,
maybe giving too much of both. So yeah, absolutely. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, I experienced this whenever I was a parent, and Greg's parents would always come in with a bag full of gifts. They were little gifts, but still, and my kids loved it, obviously. But it got to where the kids would be like, wouldn't even say hello to grandmother and granddaddy. It was just, where are my gifts? So I did tell Greg, I said, I think we need to tell your parents, like, let's hold off on the gifts. I think it's sweet and it's wonderful, but all the kids see is the gifts. And I don't like that, with that sort of more mentality. And they were very gracious and agreed not to. And we sort of set up like, how many, when can we do it? That kind of thing. And I said, I don't want to put a strict thing on it, but just every single time, maybe every other time or every, you know, few times or whatever. And so that seemed to work. For us, Greg and I as grandparents, when they come over, like the screen time, I like to have like a whole playroom full of toys that they can play that's different from their toys at, you know, home. We have a swing set in our backyard that we bought when we had grandkids. Greg said, I thought we were done with this swing set thing. And I'm like, no, we're not. We bought when Amazon had their Prime Day, they had their Power Wheels on sale. So we bought two Jeeps and the kids drive up and down the driveway all day long. I like to have activities that they can do at my house that's not at their parents' house, that's sort of fun, and to keep them outside and playing and engaged and all that. So sometimes I think for the grandparents, we just need to give them some suggestions. You know what I mean? It's been out of their wheelhouse for a while, so watching a show is an easy thing to do. But grandkids love I mean, if Greg's outside stacking wood, my grandsons are right there beside him doing it with them. And we planted a garden last year that was horrible, but they were in the garden. They were helping us plant stuff. And it was amazing. Greg goes, we probably won't get one vegetable out of that, but we had a good day. And I said, that's right.
Did you get any vegetables?
No, we did not get any. We got these little bitty tomatoes that should have been like the big boys that were looked like cherry tomatoes. It's horrible.
But those are such great reminders. I mean, I would say as an aunt, I have the same wanting to do the same things. And it can be so easy to fall into screens, but to have different toys and things for them to do.
Right.
It's great. And the gift idea, too. With Henry, we kept saying, people over presents, people over presents. But it's so easy when they're little to get locked into presents.
Because everybody wants a present, right?
Right.
Come on.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Come on. Yeah. Exactly right. So, as someone who has helped generations of moms, what would you say you feel like parents need to hear most today?
This is such a good question. When y'all sent me the questions, I was like, oh, that's so good. That's fear good. Is taking over these sweet mamas. And it breaks my heart. It's just, I think it's the enemy's ploy just to keep these moms paralyzed. You know what I mean? Like there's too much information out there. They, you know, it's sort of like whenever you get sick and you Google and you're like, ooh, I'm going to die kind of thing. You know, there's too much information going on and social media is just ramping it up. And, and I just want to bring mom some freedom and let them know, like, you still serve a mighty God that is very capable of taking care of you and your child. If you would just trust him, you know, quit looking and diving into all this stuff of what the what ifs could be, and just start daily walking with the Lord and just saying, you know what, God, here are my needs. Will you meet me where I am? Will you fill my needs? And quit looking, trying to find all the answers. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
That's such a great reminder. Yes.
It's definitely. Just so great. Fear is taking over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Karen, what would you say is some of the best parenting advice you ever received?
Well, I received a lot of good advice. My mom was a good mom and had a lot of, we're from the South. So she had a lot of no nonsense kind of parenting, you know, it's probably where I got mine from. But I remember what my oldest was, our strong willed. We had two, the oldest and the youngest. And the oldest was marching into church one Sunday and just had all the attitude, and I'm following behind and I've got a couple kids, you know, in tow, and I'm worn down. I'm sure I just look like a hack. And this lady in the church looked at my oldest daughter, Kelsey, and she goes, well, there's your leader right there. And I said, she's something. I didn't know quite what to do with her. And she said, honey, get her on the right track and she'll be fine. And all of a sudden, because I was sort of a little scared of Kelsey, you know, she was so strong-willed, so decisive, you know, determined to do her thing. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, if I get Kelsey on the right track, I don't have to be afraid of her. You know what I mean? Like, there's a good leader and there's a bad leader. I just need to get her on the right track of the good leaders. Mm-hmm. And so, and not a dictator. So that sort of became my challenge. Like, all right, how can I get Kelsey on the right track to leadership? Because that's the way God designed her. She is a leader and I don't need to snuff that out in her. That's what she is. And so how do I build that good leadership up in her and teach her, okay, this is what a good leader looks like. This is what a bad leader looks like. And a bully and a bossy and dictator is not good, but this other is, and you have more influence. Mm-hmm. And so that lady, whether she realized it or not, she didn't know she was giving me advice, but I took it. And I was like, all right, this is not a negative thing. This is a very positive thing. And I need to, you know, sort of steer Kelsey in the right direction.
Which circles back to what you talked about in the very beginning of being a student of who and where they are. I mean, what they love and where their little personalities are and where God's gifted them.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
There was a dad I'll never forget who brought his very strong-willed daughter in, who was not just a leader, but she was a fighter. And him saying, she has so much fight in her that I know God is going to use. I just need to help her find her way to the right kind of fight.
Right.
Which is the exact same idea.
And with both of my strong-willed children, I used to tell them, I know you got a message out there to share, you know, like you want people to listen. But if you want to gain influence with people, you have to go about it the right way. Because if all you're doing is yelling at them, you've lost influence. So you need to go in a calmer way. You can still have great ideas and still get them out there. But you just sort of need to ease into them, not like a bull in a china shop. Because once you do that, people are like, I'm not listening to you.
That is a good word for all of us.
It is.
Good reminder. Yes. Well, so for folks who aren't familiar yet with Birds on a Wire, but are going to want to be after listening to all of your wisdom, where would you say folks can find you and follow along?
Well, basically it's birdsonawiremoms.com. That's our website. And then our social media and all that is Birds on a Wire Moms. And then our podcast is called Wire Talk.
Yep. Okay.
All the little birds sitting on the wire talking.
So cute.
I love that. All right. We like to end with something fun and food related.
Okay.
So we'd love to ask you what family meal defined your growing up?
Yeah.
Or what meal likely defined your children's growing up?
Well, growing up for me, I'm from South Atlanta, and fried chicken, homemade biscuits, all that good stuff, fresh vegetables in the summer. I asked my kids and I said, I know, makes you hungry, doesn't it? And they said, similar. My son said homemade biscuits and ham all for breakfast. And then my girls said like country fried steak and chicken pot pie.
Yum. I can't believe you made homemade biscuits in the morning.
You know,
Karen.
I did. I was crazy. Wow. I was crazy. The other crazy thing I did that I still cannot even believe I did this is I used cloth diapers, and I am not a tree hugger. Let me just say that right out the gate. I don't know why. It reminded me when I was little, like doing baby dolls, and I loved it. Weird.
Wow. Wow. Impressive. Not weird. Very impressive.
All this talk of biscuits and fried chicken makes me want to invite us over. Can we come to your house and have a meal next time we're in your city?
Come on. I would love it. I know you all like Mexican food. So the next time you're in Atlanta, and we'll treat y'all to Suprica Ooh, it's so good.
That sounds delightful.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I know.
Karen, thank you. It's so good to get to visit with you.
You're so grateful for you.
Thank you. Well, I'm thankful for y'all, and I recommend y'all to all the mamas out there. I'm these are two people you need to follow. You need to read the books. You need to do the work because they're good. So thank you
for all you do. Thank you, friend. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yes, I would love that.
David, what a team we have that we get to call friends who help make this podcast possible.
Amanda Young, our operations manager.
Chris Starrett, our engineer and producer.
Our management team at KCH.
And we are thrilled to be a part of the That Sounds Fun Network.
Our music was created by the insanely talented Dave Haywood of Lady A.
And if this podcast felt helpful to you, please consider subscribing, liking, sharing, all the things.
We are grateful for you and cheering you on always.